You are listening to Sheep Might Fly, a podcast of serialized fiction written and read by Tansy Rayner Roberts. We're starting a new serial today, Kissing Basilisks, the next in the Belladonna University series. If you've been following along, this one is set a few months after Halloween is Not a Verb, which is also available to listen to for free on this podcast. Kissing Basilisks will be published later this year in the second Belladonna U collection, Holiday Brew. My Patreon subscribers, of course, will get it first. And because it is, as I am recording, the 9th of March, quite late, shamefully late on the 9th of March when this episode is going to air, this is also the day that my Castle Charming Kickstarter has launched. It went live at 10 o'clock this morning. We've already raised half the funds to make the book possible, which is very exciting. I know a lot of you first came across Castle Charming here on the podcast, where it began life as the stories Glass Slipper Scandal and the sequels. It's going to be a complete collected edition of the four Castle Charming novellas, one bonus story, Charm or Dare, with a beautiful new cover. It'll be available as paperback or hardback. And there are a lot of rewards exclusive just to the Kickstarter. So do come along. Either look for Castle Charming on your local Kickstarter site or you can follow the link from the show notes. For now, Kissing Basilisks. Chapter 1. Ferd doesn't have magic. On New Year's Day, Ferdinand Chauvelin woke up in a bed that wasn't his own, or his girlfriend's. This was not out of character for him at 18, when he had no girlfriend and no concept of time to stop drinking, mate, but was very much out of character for him now, at 21. "Why?" he groaned, when the first thing he saw was Dex, squashed pillow face sticking out from under the blankets. His flatmate grunted. "You gave Jules and Vi your bed to keep Jules from climbing in with Sage. Juniper's sharing with Hebe downstairs. May went to bed early and refused to share with anyone. Holly has her fella." Even half asleep, Deck rolled his eyes at that one. Everyone hated Holly's new fella. Ferd sat up slowly. He felt rough, not just from whatever the hell they'd been drinking last night. His whole body felt strange, like it didn't entirely belong to him. His feet pricked with pins and needles. He opened his mouth to ask why Jules hadn't bunked in with him, so Deck could at least share with his girlfriend, but something stirred in his memory. That was a bad question to ask. Right, figure that part out later. "How do you even remember where everyone ended up?" he muttered instead. "Chart on the fridge," said Deck, his sentence trailing off into a snore. "Right, good." Ferd climbed out of bed. Someone had to put on the coffee. They usually relied on Deck for that, but he didn't look like he was going to pull his usual Susie Sunshine early morning bullshit right now. Ferd was apparently wearing boxers and an oversized fake Geek Girl t-shirt he must have raided from the never-ending stash of band merch. He headed out to the kitchen. The lino was cold under his bare feet, but it was supposed to get stupid hot this weekend, right? The little house they shared as two flats with the girls downstairs had terrible insulation, which meant freezing mornings, even in summer, and fuck-off heat from lunchtime through to about 10 in the evening. No bushfires yet near the city, which already made this a better New Year than the last one. Other things that sucked about last New Year's Eve included the fact that he was still living at home then and had to attend some stupid rich warlock party where his parents' friends watched him with veiled pity from behind their designer cocktails. Now, as the cold seeped into his feet and the coffee pot warmed on the stove, because he was so useless he couldn't use magic to heat water anymore, Ferd contemplated his messy memories of the night before. Sangria. He remembered sangria and oranges injected with vodka and a bunch of other catering choices that seemed like a bloody wonderful idea yesterday. His mouth tasted like old cloves and dead animal, possibly floor. The water from the tap ran cold, and he chugged half a glass of it down, thinking over what he could remember. Viola and Deck had some kind of awful fight that started before the party with quiet jabs at each other, built up over the evening with bursts of shouting interspersed with ignoring each other, making out with other people and throwing vodka oranges. So that was a big awkward question that he should probably never ask either of them. Sounded like the breakup was sticking or the not breakup was failing. One of the two, for definite. Ferd turned around, pressing his face to the cold of the fridge because now he was remembering something else about last night. Something awful. Something world-destroying. Shit. 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 He kissed Jules' nightshade. No. No, Jules had kissed him. Either way, Ferd now knew what it was like to have his best friend's tongue in his mouth without any kind of drunken party game excuse. That was... yeah. Had he told Hebe yet? Did she know? Had he confessed all, knowing she might be understandably freaked out that her second serious boyfriend in her whole life was also gay? No. Wait. He wasn't gay. Oh, he definitely shouldn't have been kissing Jules, though. Maybe Hebe knew all about it. Maybe that was why she had Juniper in with her and why Ferd had been banished to the right side of Deck's bed. Shit. Ferd had been carefully ignoring Jules Nightshade's crush on him for years now. He'd been good at ignoring it. What the hell had happened to change that? What kind of self-destructive idiot was he? At least there was coffee. The one benefit of losing all his magic in the worst accident in Belladonna University's history 15 months ago was that Ferd could drink delicious, wakey-uppy liquid caffeine at any time of the day without worrying it was going to affect his powers. Well, that and his girlfriend, the literal greatest thing that had ever happened to him. He wouldn't have met Hebe without losing his magic. He wouldn't be living here with Deck and Sage, hanging out with their rock band and associated friends. He wouldn't be studying the political significance of magical integration in Australia, which was surprisingly interesting. He would have a degree in shadowmancy by now, planning for his career in grey ops. Probably sifting through job offers from a list of elite families who all wanted to curry favour with his father. High warlock of the Basilisk Board and member of several other high-status boards around the city. Ferd might even be engaged to Viola Vale, assuming they both eventually caved to the pressure from their parents for want of better offers, or made a pact to humour the olds long enough to get some great presents out of the deal. He might be dressing more like his father in public. Maybe he wouldn't have figured out yet that his old life was slowly choking the oxygen out of him. He definitely would not have let his guard down long enough to make out with his best friend, or allow himself to be made out with. A wave of dizziness pulsed through Ferd and he pushed away from the fridge. Wow, this was the weirdest hangover he'd had in a... There was a handprint. A shadow of a handprint, outlined on the fridge, overlapping the actual goddamn chart of who slept where last night. He had assumed Deck was kidding, and the cool, white surface. Ferd leaned in and prodded at the shadow hand. It rippled, and a corresponding sensation tugged at his stomach. Oh. Oh, he was an idiot. He hadn't been drinking last night. Not after the first mouthful of sangria, so he had literally no excuse for what had happened with Jules, but that was a thought to unpack later. He wasn't hungover. This feeling, the numbness and slowness, the sluggish haze swamping his brain. Ferd knew this feeling. He felt it when he woke up from the coma after the lab accident that wrecked his old life. He felt it when he was a stupid kid whose magic wasn't under control yet, when he was a teenager who left scorch marks on the ceiling every time he got hard. This familiar, grinding ache in his muscles. This was how he felt after pulling 3 all-nighters in a row during first year, trying to finish up the Shadowmancy project that scored him a top mentor in the department, the project that marked him out as a great talent, the project that almost killed him when he returned to it later because he never learned his fucking limits. Ferd reached out and touched the shadow mark on the fridge, the outline of his hand. It rippled and closed slowly around his fist, like a glove that wanted to eat him alive. He ran to the bathroom and threw up, noisily and wetly, into the toilet. His stomach felt like it was on fire and full of concrete at the same time. When he was done, he stuck his whole head under the shower for one quick burst of cold water, rinsing off his face and the inside of his mouth. Then, wet and shivering like an idiot, he pulled off the t-shirt and stared at himself in the mirror. His magic stared back at him. Chauvelin and Nightshade got tattoos the day they were accepted into the College of the Real at Belladonna University. Viola Vale, who was ahead of them both, charging her way up the ladder of the Department of Practical Mythology already, because she was so damn smart, came along to watch, mocking them the whole time. It was a tradition. If you were a legacy of one of the 11 families represented on the Basilisk board, 10 founders, plus the Chauvelins, who arrived a generation later than the rest of them, but made up for it with extra wealth, power and influence, you ruled the school. You were on track to earn your status as a warlock, not merely a witch. You studied magic, and only magic. You walked into every room as if you owned the place. Magical tattoos, infused with expensive enchantments, were even better than clothes or cars for showing how elite you thought you were. Nightshade had a silver dragon inked across his back, spreading over both of his pointy shoulder blades. It breathed blue-green flames that licked up his neck when he was in a foul mood. When you ran your finger over its tail, the dragon hummed. Chauvelin chose a phoenix. She covered his right shoulder, curving down over his chest, bright gold and orange with flecks of green, showing up intensely against his brown skin. After he lost his magic, he didn't lose his phoenix. She continued to move and dance. Her wings still fluttered. Her eyes still glowed from time to time. He thought for a while this might be a sign that his magic wasn't completely gone. His father thought so too. Whenever they sat before a new high-priced healer or shadowmancer to explain the situation, one of the first things Nicholas Chauvelin would do was push his son's shirt aside to show the movement of the tattoo. Some of the experts told his father what he wanted to hear. Others were just as bad as those assholes at his parents' parties, pity in their eyes or a sneer on their lips. Eventually, Chauvelin did his own research. He learned that magical tattoos held the magic of the artist who had made them, not the wearer. They recharged themselves based on the magic in the air around the wearer, but you could apply one to a complete magical null and the tattoo would still move if that person held hands with a witch for long enough. You could put one on a cat. These days, the wings of the phoenix flapped more slowly, maybe because Ferd spent more time around low magical or non-magical people than he ever had in his old life. For the last couple of months, the phoenix had slept. She barely twitched, only moving first thing in the morning, after Ferd had slept with full skin contact against Hebe for several hours. Last night, he shared a bed with Deck, both of them fully clothed, with a suitably bro amount of space between them. Deck barely had enough magic in him to cheat at cards on a good day. But the phoenix was moving now. Not only that, she was glowing. As Ferd stared at her, she shimmied before his eyes, slowly turned a loop the loop, and opened her beak in a silent scream. Ferd could hear someone moving around in the flat. The floorboards creaked. Sooner or later, someone would come into this bathroom and catch him staring at his bare chest. They'd see the shadow print on the fridge. They'd know. What would they even know? It couldn't be that. Ferd's magic wasn't coming back. Coming to terms with his magic never coming back was one of the hardest things he'd ever done in his life. Cutting off contact with the family who kept pressuring him about it was the second hardest thing. 10 months ago, he walked up to a help desk to change his enrolment from the College of the Real to the College of the Unreal. That turned out to be the best day of his life. It was the day he properly met Hebe and learned about the room for rent in the flat upstairs from her. He found new friends in Sage and Deck, two guys with radically different magical levels who had no opinion about what he was studying or what he wanted to do with his life. It was the day his life started again. And now, was it over? If his magic was back, was all that for nothing? He hadn't done anything different recently, hadn't lifted a curse or drunk a potion, or taken up yoga, or done any of the things the various quacks all promised his parents would make a difference. He hadn't undergone drastic surgery, or had his blood replaced, or immersed himself in an ancient language, or sacrificed a freaking goat. All he could remember doing last night was drinking one gulp of sangria and kissing Jules Nightshade on the mouth. Fuck. He heard the floorboards creak again in one of the bedrooms. It could be Vale, who never let him get away with anything. It could be Sage, who had more magic than the rest of them put together, and would know right away if Ferd was different. It could be some rando who'd slept on the floor, about to waltz in here and wish him a happy new year. It could be Nightshade. Ferd left the flat, pulling his shirt on as he went. He didn't have a plan. He just needed to be away. Happy bloody new year indeed. Thanks for listening to Sheep Might Fly. You can sign up to my author newsletter for updates. Follow me on Twitter at TansyRR or at Sheep Might Fly. Find me on Facebook at TansyRR Books. And if you like this podcast, consider supporting me at Patreon, where you can receive all kinds of cool rewards, early ebooks, and exclusive stories for a small monthly pledge. And between now and the 8th of April 2020, don't forget to check out my Kickstarter page for the print edition and revised text edition of Castle Charming in many formats with many cool extras. See you next week.